I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. I'm RJ Clifford. He's Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. Raiders head into Mile High Stadium with everybody doubting them. John Gruden canned as the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Out.
Offense floundering. Defense. No identity. Nobody believed in us. Everybody's worried about us. Everyone thinks, oh, divisional rival, Denver Broncos, going to handle business at home in Mile High. 34-24, good guys. And Soto, it wasn't that close.
No, they scored a late touchdown. You know, I'm not a really big fan of the prevent defense. The old saying is the prevent defense prevents you from winning.
It took you 4 seconds to get negative in a great day.
What I'm saying, you cut me off. What I'm saying is the real score was 34-17. That last touchdown was them just digging and dunking the ball down the field, and we weren't really doing much to stop the underneath stuff.
And that's how the Raiders roll, right? Like they're. And that's the thing, is like it's the give and take of the new Raiders defense, right? Like we'll keep people in front of us. We are not generally that aggressive. That's why the Raiders kind of in the red zone defensively hasn't been great. But the Raiders have, at least today, everything that's generally wrong with the Raiders defense went right today, right? Great in the red zone. A couple red zone stops, which they haven't done in a while. And a bunch of turnovers, which we don't want to be greedy about the Raiders defense because, like we've talked about multiple times, the Raiders defense has been terrible for decades. So if they're just average, we can't complain. We're like, hey, just be average. We're like, great, wonderful. And they are. A ton of turnovers, Soto. Offense was wide open. Like, I don't know where to begin. It is a happy day in Raider Nation.
I was nervous about this game before it started because of what we struggled with. And what Denver did well. We struggled against the run, and Denver was a really good running team. They had 100 yards basically in every single game or more. And it just never really happened for them, honestly. Mm-hmm. We went down there and scored a quick touchdown. And we were stuffing the run early. Now, they were committed to it. They kept running the ball. But, we just didn't really let them get going. And that kind of changed the dynamic of the game. Once you make Teddy Bridgewater have to win a game, he's more prone to make mistakes. I should say that. And he did. He did. The last interception was kind of a garbage time pick, but he ended up throwing three picks. He's not a turnover machine. He had four turnovers today. He fumbled in three picks. And it was the pressure we put on him. Every single play, every single time he dropped back, he had pressure on him. We didn't let him be comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah, I think the perfect encapsulation of Teddy Bridgewater was that missed wide open play early in the second quarter where like he was under a little bit of pressure, but nothing too crazy. And he overthrew just a wide open receiver. I'm like, okay, that's Teddy Bridgewater. He's not going to lose you games. He's not going to like completely flounder about, but he's not going to hit those clutch plays that you want. And that's exactly the type of defense that beats a quarterback like that. He had three interceptions. There was a fumble. Four turnovers by the Raiders defense, no turnovers by the Raiders offense. Like, this is the defensive performance. We'll get to the offense in a second. The defensive performance by the Raiders that we've been looking for, right? We didn't want to demand a lot from the Raiders defense. We're just like, all right, don't have to go crazy. You don't have to win us crazy games. You don't have to destroy the quarterback. Get us 10 turnovers. They did that. They did that today. And I know you were saying, Soto, and when you said it in the pregame show, you're like, oh, I think it's kind of rough. I don't like our chances. There's a lot going on. The Raiders rose to the occasion despite all the fiasco. All the problems, John Gruden gone, all the negative attention, brand new interim coach. all those things that were going on, the Raiders were like, you know what? We have a job to do on Sunday afternoon, and we don't care what Juan Soto has to say. We don't care how negative Soto's going to be. We're going to pay attention to what we have to do and execute. And they did. So despite your best effort, Soto, you were unable to bury the Raiders on Sunday. What's that?
I did not say anything of that sort. What I said was, I kind of did it, honestly. What I said was exactly what I said earlier. Mm-hmm. What Denver does well is something that we struggle with. And if they run the ball the way they can, I don't like our chances. That's what I said. Yeah. And they
only rushed the ball 23 times. Pretty bad. And it's not like
that's not very Denver-esque either.
It's not like they were way behind the whole game. Like, they got behind semi-early, right? Like, was it 17-7 at the half, right?
They scored a late touchdown.
So right? So they were behind, but it's like not like they had to like get desperation passing early. Only 23 rushes, which completely took them out of where they wanted to play.
Yeah, that's not how a Denver offense, especially this year, they're built around running the ball and possession and you make Teddy Bridgewater push the ball down the field like that, and he's gonna make some mistakes. You know, Teddy Two Gloves. I think what it encapsulates, and we really just boils down the defensive effort today, is 5 sacks, 17 quarterback hits. 17 quarterback hits today. So he had a lot of dropbacks because they threw the ball a shit ton today. He almost had 50 dropbacks.
And that's been our offense, our defense for a while, right? Like, we haven't been getting a ton of sacks, but we have been getting a lot of pressures. So it's like a lot of things that haven't been on the
stat
sheet.
Not the last couple weeks, though. Not the last couple weeks. We didn't do a great job last week. We didn't do a great job the week before against the Chargers. I mean, it wasn't in the tens and teens like we've had the first 3 weeks of the season. It kind of got back to the defensive line really pushing forward. And I was really nervous because Hankins and Filon were both out today. Hankins is our fucking anchor down there, and that's why I was really nervous about today's game. Is just like shit was stacked against us for Denver to run the ball. But man, fucking Thomas stepped up. Vickers stepped up. I mean, they really did a good job today, man. Fucking your boy fucking Crosby, 3 sacks today.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Quentin pretty Jefferson good. Pretty good. That's one of those, like, so this is the thing about we'll keep going defense for a little bit and we'll get to the offense because they were both awesome in their own ways. Crosby has been a play disruptor off the stat sheet guy, right? Pressure, someone will throw a bad ball, you know, stuff like that. Hasn't been getting a ton of sacks. And then finally, Crosby got on there, right? Like you said, 3 sacks, 6 total tackles. This is what I was saying earlier about our defense, you know, our defense in general and Max Crosby specifically. They're not getting the, like, you know, 3-sack, 4-sack games, stuff that gets you like defensive MVP, things like that. But it's been quality defense, team defense that has been scoring for us, right? It's been being a disruption in the backfield, hurrying a rusher, getting in the backfield and making a running back making a cut before he wants to. That's been our front line for a while. Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby. But it's only a matter of time if you're getting those pressures to get a game like a 3-sack game like this, right? That's on the tip of your tongue like that, right? So it's like, even though Max Crosby, he's not going to get the defensive MVP votes because he's not getting those really important sack numbers. And again, like, it'd be great if he was getting that, right? If Max Crosby was getting 2-3 sacks a game, we'd be shooting fireworks in the hallway. But he's been doing something that can be more reliable. Pressures. He's been getting consistent pressures. And when you consistently get pressures, you're always going to disrupt what's happening back there. And you will occasionally get a 3-sack game like he got today at Mile High.
Yeah. Newsflash.
Go on.
Corey Littleton recorded a 0.5 sack, and the reason why that is of significance is that is the first stat of a sack for anyone not on the defensive line for the Raiders.
Wow.
So all other sacks the whole year have been defensive linemen. No other one else has sacks. So here's another quick little stat that's going to show you what this game was all about. The Denver Broncos had one pass defense. So they knocked down one pass, right? The Raiders had eight passes defensed. So they were sticking on their guys. It's just a tremendous defense. It starts with the defense, although the offense did do a good job putting up points. I think it was a lot of it, the turnovers, getting good field position for our offense, and the offense taking advantage of it. The thing that we looked at that we mentioned before I left your house, Derek Carr had 18 completions. That's it. 18 completions, but 341 yards.
More than enough.
More than enough. Two touchdowns, no picks. He got sacked a couple times. But here's something that's also interesting. Henry Ruggs, his average catches, 32 yards. Ryan Edwards.
Not a bad average.
33
and
a half.
One-third of the entire length of a football field.
That was three catches for 97. Brian Edwards, two catches for 67. That's 33 and a half yard average. Waller, 559. That's almost 11.8. Mm-hmm. Kenyon Drake, two for 39. It's almost 20 yard average.
Kenyon Drake, two touchdowns. A guy that was anonymous. Two touchdowns.
Dude.
Anonymous.
Here's the deal. This is what I talked about in the preview show about Olsen and Carr coming together and being able to be more fluid.
In the preview show, when you thought we were going to get our asses kicked by the
Broncos, never said that in the preview
the
show.
Was gone. That preview show. Continue.
RJ, you see, some people haven't heard the preview show and they don't know that you're full of shit right now, that I did not say any of that. And you're going to be like, oh, so you're a fucking hater.
You were pretty adamant that
I didn't say
the
that.
Broncos were going to hurt us.
I never said that. I never once said that.
Okay. Well, those who heard the preview show now, continue.
Yeah, they know that you're full of shit. I said that the duo of Olsen and Carr are going to be more fluid and be able to do what Carr did the first 3 weeks of the year, which is go to the line, to read the defense, change the play at the line, and be more aggressive in a sense where we're attacking the openings the defense presents us, and not attacking it with specific predetermined plays. Mm-hmm. And that's what Gruden does. Gruden likes to attack defensive schemes with specific plays. Whereas Carr and Olsen, I think this week, they were attacking the defense with players. And one thing that you said last week is Gruden seems to coach for the team that he wants, as opposed to the team that he has. And that's what Olsen and Carr were doing today, is they were taking advantage of the players that they have on the field and their strengths, as opposed to trying to fit pieces into an offense that's already pretty scripted.
So your favorite player on the Raiders roster, Derek Carr, 18 of 27, 341 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. He only took two sacks, 134 passer rating. A great game against a defensive team with a defensive coach on the road in Mile High. And how about this? 10 points in the first quarter. That's more points in the first quarter than the first five games combined.
Yep. And what did I say? That's amazing. What did I say in the preview show? Let's throw the ball and use the passing game as our running game on first down, and not always run the ball on first down. You don't have to throw it deep if you're throwing it on first down. You can throw it short on first down and get a couple yards. At the very first play of the game, we threw it out in the flat to actually, it was a quick stop to Ruggs for about 4 yards. You end up gaining 5 yards more. So you had a second and one right there, and it's kind of just built off of that. Great opening drive. Denver came right back down. We came right back at them for the field goal. It's just all around hard-fought, solid game. And because the Chargers got their shit pushed into their fucking throats today by the Ravens
who we beat, bent over and smacked them.
We are tied for first place in the AFC West. Well,
they have the tiebreaker because they beat us. So we're not technically tied. But I get you. Same record.
Paint him in the eyes. Same record. Same record.
And we said this in the pregame show. This game is massive for the AFC West. Like, surprisingly so, right? And this isn't even like, oh, we're a Raiders podcast. We're a Raiders show. So, like, every Raiders game in the division matters. No, this is genuinely a really big, important game because the Chiefs are floundering. They were 2-3. They won today against the Washington football team. Like, not a big deal. The Chargers were going into a semi-rough part of their schedule. They had the Ravens today, who are playing fantastic, and they're, you know, the Chargers are obviously on top of the division, and then 2-3-2 teams in the Raiders and Broncos facing off. So who's ever coming out of this, you know, great math by RJ, one of them's going to be 3-3, one of them's going to be 4-2. This was big, and not just skated away with a win, the most dominant win of the season by the Raiders. 34-24, it wasn't that close.
It wasn't that close.
It wasn't that close. Like, there was a random, like, the Broncos got, like, they actually, like, got an onside kick that they recovered. Brian Edwards, get him off Hans team. Love Brian Edwards, get him off Hans team. He's not a Hans team guy.
Like, yeah, he'll like get hit.
Yeah, get him off, get him off. Love me some like Brian Edwards. Get him off Hans team. Get him off Hans team. So, yeah, that. But it wasn't as close as the score says. And it was a 10-point win when you were 4-point dogs. Like, it wasn't a competitive game after the half. So, super, super important game in the AFC West. So you've got the Chiefs at 3-3, the Broncos at 3-3, the Chargers at 4-2, the Raiders at 4-2. The Chargers have obviously the tiebreaker over the Raiders, but the Raiders are going into a soft schedule. Eagles coming up.
Eagles are 2-4.
2-4.
Still kind of trying to find their identity.
Bye, right? Bye week, and then Giants.
Who are a dumpster fire.
Kind of a pretty decent, you know. We're going East Coast to the Giants, but coming off of a bye, so not that big of a deal. But one more thing on let's go back to the offense real quick. Derek Carr, 18 of 27. That I feel like is the correct type of rate for Derek Carr, right? Big play passes, not a volume passing game. 27 attempts, great number.
I like him in the high 20s, low 30s.
Let's go deep to Ruggs every now and then. Let's go mid to Waller and Renfro every now and then. You know, two touchdowns, no picks. That's the type of pass. We've been saying for a while, like, has John Gruden been making Derek Carr what he is, or has he been handcuffing Derek Carr? I think this is the perfect example of kind of neither. We don't need him throwing 50 passes a game, but we want him being wide open, right? Like, we don't have to open the throttle every play, but when we do, let's open it up. And that's what we did today. It's exactly what Olsen, Carr, Bisaccia, good kind of like conglomeration of what we want to do passing wise and offensively.
Yeah. They still had a pretty poor average per rush attempt. There's only 3.7 yards per rush. Mm-hmm. We rushed the ball 23 times as well for 86 yards,
which is sadly an improvement.
It is a lot better than we have been, but we didn't have a lot of plays. I mean, it was pretty even, 27 pass plays, 23 run plays. We were helped quite a bit by turnovers, so giving us some short fields. And you know what? Carr was out there, and this is what I mean by pushing the ball down the field, which was fucking Safwan.
I knew
there.
That was going to break you. Let me test the broadcasting skills of Soto.
I doubt that people get that shit in the fucking broadcast, talking shit like that, but. No, this is what I meant by pushing the ball down the field. Pushing the ball down the field doesn't mean throwing into double coverage and throwing when people are blanketed, stuff like
forcing
that.
Forcing it.
It means taking the opportunity when it's there. And all you have to do is just look there at least. And a lot of times with Derek Carr, the last two games and the last few seasons, what he does a lot is, it gets him in trouble, is he locks down on a receiver. He locks it on a receiver and he doesn't even look and doesn't even see open receivers that are further down the field.
Yeah.
What he was doing the first 3 weeks of the season and what he did today was he was looking deep first, and then he came back and threw short if the deep wasn't open. If the deep was open, I don't know what the fuck Darby was thinking. Darby just fucking opened the gate and let Ruggs just take the inside and ran right by him. I don't understand what that was all about. Simmons took a terrible angle, but fuck him. Ruggs caught it and fucking took it the rest of the way. So, Carr had a great game today, man. He bounced back in a big way. And if this is what we have looking forward, I think it's going to be a pretty, pretty tough out for anyone else that we're playing. After we have that bye week, it's just going to help us just come together even more and just help Fangio get his bearings about him and everything for the second half push. It's going to be a good year, man.
Let's talk about Rich Bisaccia for a little bit here. First off, great name, Bisaccia. I love saying his name, Rich Bisaccia. It's the name I'm down to say.
It's almost like a bun that I want my sandwich to be on, a Bisaccia bun.
Yeah, can I get a salami and a Bisaccia, please? Extra mustard. You know,
toast it. Toast that shit for me. God damn it.
Right. There's that part. Two. He needs to work on his flag throwing.
Oh yeah,
that was bad. It was kind of like a little like one of these. He was like this. Is though.
Yeah. I wasn't into that.
Yeah. First, it was a bad decision because it was clearly I forgot the exact play, but I was like, "There's no way that was a catch or like whatever it was." And then he kind of did the, okay, that's bad. But other than his challenge flag throwing skills. Damn good game for his first head coach, right?
You know, it's if you're a good leader and you know you have the right people around you, you let them do their fucking job, right? Mm-hmm. You make the big decisions, but the decisions at the granular level, you let the person that you hired for that position make those decisions.
Sure.
And he has every confidence in Gus Bradley. He has every confidence in Greg Olsen. And he said, okay, guys, there's going to be times that I'm going to have input on what you guys do and have questions and, whatever. But don't feel that that's me questioning you. I'm just asking questions and I'm just giving suggestions. I trust you guys. Let me manage the game. And he was still running the special teams. Yeah. It was kind of funny watching him run from the sidelines to the kicking tent, like the little kicking net, and talking to the special teams guy. It was pretty funny.
Like his job was still to get the tee onto the field. Yeah. He's still the head coach. Like he was still like that kind of mode. What do you think John Gruden was doing today?
I think he was watching the game, dude. Honestly.
Oh, for sure he was. Was he like beating off to the joy of it? Was he like punching a heavy bag that he wasn't there? Did he have on like a little headset the same way like you give a little kid in a car seat a steering wheel to pretend like they're still driving the car?
Like Maggie what? Simpson?
Yeah, it's like beep, beep. Like, oh, I'm driving the car. Like, was John Gruden something like that? Or did he kind of like accept the role that he's in now?
I think he's had a few days to kind of let it sink in. I think he's pretty much.
I think he was drunk as shit.
Yeah, he's called his last game.
Hammered.
I think he was second guessing every single play call of whether it worked or not, which is just the way he is.
Yeah.
And
like he was yelling into his headset what Bisaccia should do.
Garrett the Great, man. That was a great story. I heard of that too. When Gruden ran over the 50 steps, I guess what they said was to his house and they started talking, and Gruden was just like, "Hey man, go home. You have work to do. You gotta get ready for Denver."
Which should be a big props to Gruden, where it's like, "Hey, Derek Carr, you have a job to do, play football. Stop crying over me." As much as Gruden like clearly has his faults, still a football guy at heart, right? Like a genuine care for Derek Carr and the Raiders.
They were like legitimate fucking buddies, like friends. I want to address something really quick.
How quick?
Really quick.
Okay.
These fucking local fucking radio guys. I can't fucking stand this shit. they're throwing around the word coward left and right, describing Mark Davis as a coward because he didn't come out and say something. Mm-hmm. And this is not your normal owner head coach relationship that you have here. This is a pretty deep relationship that they had. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the head coach that left. This guy ran the whole fucking organization.
He was the Raiders czar.
He was the
czar
Raiders
of football.
He was the Raiders. And it's like, there was a lot left to be not just discussed, but to be ironed out before this shit actually ended up, going down. Like there's a contract going on. There was years left. Excuse me, a lot of money left. Who's going to coach the team? That's one thing, but who's going to be like the team president? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? He did a lot of things that were not in his title. Yeah. John Gruden did. So who's going to take care of all that stuff? It's a lot of stuff. Plus processing, just being hurt, you going after a specific guy, giving him this whopper of a contract and then have it blow up in your face. And then having someone from the NFL leak this information on the anniversary of your dad's death. And then you not acting fast enough for the league. So then they leak more shit to kind of force your hand. Bullshit all around. So fucking whoever you are, fucking who was it? Travis Rogers and fucking Alan Sliwa. Fuck both of you. Fuck you both in the fucking ear. John fucking Ireland, you're a fucking Raider. You call yourself a Raider fan. You're talking shit after all this stuff is going on. You know what that is? That's fucking Mickey Mouse's fucking hand up your ass, treating you like a fucking puppet, all right? Because you're in bed with the NFL. So fuck all you guys.
There, how about the biggest coward is Roger Goodell, who started all of this and has been able to just like sit on the sideline, not talk about it.
Oh,
like this is the thing. This is what the NFL wanted. The NFL wanted it to be a micro story. Gruden, Raiders, emails, when the actual story is way bigger. Goodell, witch hunt, weaponizing these emails. That's the bigger story. But they want it to be this tiny story. And dumbasses have embraced the tiny story and then let the NFL and Roger Goodell off the hook because they're embracing the small part. That's not what we're talking about today. It's a happy day, right?
It's a happy day.
Raiders went into Mile High, bent over and smacked the Broncos. That's what we're talking about. Okay, a couple middle to minor issues. You tell me how big of a deal it is.
Okay.
Darren Waller.
All right.
5 receptions, 59 yards, no touchdowns, 5 targets. He's been quiet for a while. That bother you?
Not at all.
Not at all. You're fine.
Well, this is what we talked about after with the first game. Mm-hmm. When we said, do you force feed Darren Waller? And I said, if he's open, yes.
Yeah.
He's your best player. You get him the ball. And if the play is open, yeah, you want to look to him first. You want to call plays for him. That's great. Mm-hmm. But if he's not open, don't force him the ball. Like you have, that means other people are open. And Carr has been doing a great job, which, I mean, we had, 4 receivers after the first 3 games over 200 yards receiving. We're not going to have that one player every single game that balls out. We're going to have – Waller's probably going to be the second guy each week, but he may not be – he's going to be top 1 or 2 each week because he's that good. But he's not going to be the most stat guy in the receiving core every single week. It just depends on the matchups, and it depends on how they want to play him.
Second semi-negative, you tell me if we should be worried or not. Our other all-pro, Josh Jacobs, 3.3 yards per carry. Still mediocre at best, below average in his rushing. Issue or not?
That's a slight issue. I did see him have more burst today than he has. He did move the pile a couple times. He did break some tackles. That's the one thing. He was, phenomenal in his rookie season on yards after contact. And that's something that we haven't seen in a while. Usually the first guy gets him down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, I think he did pretty good, you know, despite the line that he has, who played better today, but I mean, didn't play great. I mean, the Denver defensive offensive line, did block better. And you can see the holes that they were opening up. And, you know, those holes really weren't holes for Josh Jacobs. They were more creases, but he still looked quicker. He still looked like he had more burst than he had in previous weeks.
10 first quarter points. Crazy. More than the entire season put together in week 6. Okay. I don't want you to answer this reflexively unless you have a reflexive answer. Was John Gruden holding this team back, or was John Gruden making this team rise up? Because all the problems that have been plaguing the Raiders for a while inverted. Mm-hmm. Started fast. We were wide open offense. Passing game was out there. It still felt Gruden-y, like Waller with choice routes and, you know, it still felt like a Gruden offense, but the problems we've been talking about for the first half of this season, and even like parts of last season, Versace and Derek Carr kind of just like steamrolled it.
I feel Gruden was holding them back, and yeah, there's specific things that I'm looking at that kind of has me say that. The first one was Gruden was still very predictable in his play call, and he was very intent on specific formations and running out of those formations. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's of that mindset of, we're going to run to set up the pass. We're a running football team. We're this, we're that. When our personnel really didn't, maybe we had that personnel going into the season, but no Richie Incognito, Denzel Good unfortunately went down. And so you didn't really have that line anymore. So you had to adjust and switch. And I don't think the word I use was fluid. I don't think Gruden is that fluid. I think that, it's pretty evident about his lack of Carl. I agree, man. He's a micromanager. He wants to control every single little detail and not let things he doesn't process the information very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that first pass today was a big deal for me because it wasn't very Gruden-esque. Usually Gruden, if he's going to throw the ball first, it's going to be a deep pass, a deep shot. And that was that pass, that play wasn't designed for a deep hit. It was designed to get Ruggs the ball and to have him face up on his defender and use his speed to get more yards after catch, which is exactly what happened. Now that you have the defense, like, okay, he's not just going deep anymore. He's stopping on some shorter routes. Now we have more to think about. He had a passing formation again the next two plays, and they ran the ball the next two plays for a first down out of a passing, a historically or typically passing formation. Yeah. And I think
Greg Olsen's play calling?
Like, no, it's amazing. I was getting to that.
Wide open play. Like, you're stumbling around, so I'm going to help you out. So, like,
help me out, please.
At my house. It was my daughter's birthday today, so we've been, like, drinking all day long. But Greg
Olsen's play calling. Don't worry, guys. I sped home as fast as I could after the game. Yeah.
When you're drunk and on the road, you get home as fast as possible. All right? You don't drive the speed limit. You go as fast as possible so you're safe and at home. Greg Olsen. Oli, as apparently we call him.
Oli.
Screenplays. What do you do when you have a poor offensive line that keeps harassing your quarterback? Draws and screens. Duh.
You know.
Starts throwing some screen passes, and they were great, right? Jacobs had a massive screenplay, like 40 yards. Letting Carr be more wide open. Putting Carr kind of on the move a little bit. Not like he's going to, like, run it like Lamar Jackson, but, like, get him out of the pocket, flood a zone or something like that. Well done. I feel like the hybrid brain of Derek Carr, Oli, and Bisaccia, better than Gruden?
Yeah, it's going to be better because they're going to be able to react to defenses a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. They're not going to wait till the second half to make those adjustments. And we've seen that we've done better jobs in second halves. It's because we've processed the information. Gruden is all about that info. Let me gather that information and let me put it into my little machine and let me spit out some plays that are going to work. And that's the thing that I said earlier today. Gruden calls plays to beat defenses. It sounds like Ole and Carr are using specific players to put them in better positions to succeed. So it's not all about the play itself. It's about the player and highlighting the player. And that's the thing that I think is different from Gruden as opposed to what Ole and Carr were doing, which was like, hey, this so-and-so has a better matchup here. How can we exploit that? And how can we use that to our advantage? As opposed to Gruden's like, well, this play is going to work. You can put any player in there and the play is going to work. But again, you need more information to be able to make those adjustments. And that's why he had such a long script.
Yeah.
Rory Parsons, he's ugly motherfucker. Look at that face. God damn it.
So this is to kind of start to wrap things up. On the road, division rival, after one of the most tumultuous weeks in Raider history. That's not hyperbole to say that.
No.
One of the most tumultuous weeks in Raiders history. Mike Mayock, I feel, is the guy running the sail and the rudder of the Raider ship right now. Derek Carr rising to the occasion. Rich Bisaccia thrusted into a position that he didn't want but fully capable of handling.
Mm-hmm.
A support system that is there perfectly. Derek Carr that is ready to fill in any gaps offensively that is required with the loss of John Gruden. And a Raiders squad, and we've talked about this consistently through the last few weeks, there isn't animosity, there isn't infighting, there isn't a cocky quarterback, there isn't a wide receiver that's just like pissing everybody off. There's no Antonio Brown, Ocho Cinco, Trent Brown's gone. Like, this is where a team like this that's underrated, not high on star power, not high on flash, not multiple $20 million a year players that get all the attention and that like SportsCenter loves, but just a quality football team that loves each other, cares about each other, and wants to win football games. This is a position that no one wants to be in, but when thrusted in that position, they flourish. This is that kind of team. On the road, mile high, beat a division rival, 4-2, top of the division now with the Chargers. This was a message that the Raiders aren't going anywhere. That John Gruden didn't control this team. That when he's gone, the Raiders can still flourish. And they proved that today. This was the most lopsided win for the Raiders in 10 games, 12 games. The most lopsided win since maybe the Browns last season, maybe, well, right?
Like, I mean, since the last time we beat the Broncos last year.
Like, this is the first game. This was as dominant as a win for the Raiders. It was a 10-point win, but it was more dominant than the scoreboard said so. This was a statement to the league and to everybody that, this crisis, this anarchy, this whatever you want to call it with John Gruden isn't going to define this season.
Argentina.
As much as John Gruden was the czar of the team, he wasn't the heart and soul of the team.
Nope.
We can win without him.
You need an ego. You need an ego to win in the NFL. You have to have that confidence. And we saw today what the difference was having an ego based in confidence as opposed to an ego based in arrogance. Mm-hmm. And
love that line, Soto. I'm stealing it.
The ego based in arrogance makes you stubborn, makes you have an air of invincibility that you know best every single time. And that if you adjust what you initially set out to do, that's you admitting that you were wrong. Bullshit. You're confident in what you're doing, and you're confident in your players and what your abilities are. You're able to adjust and be more fluid. And that's what we saw today. That's what we saw. And who has a thicker neck than Gruden's kid, huh?
Jesus Christ. Deuce?
Deuce
has been doing his, like, the weighted neck lifts.
God damn it.
If Deuce was a true son, he would kill Rich Bisaccia as vengeance for John Gruden.
Brutus. you fuck my mom. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
All right, just to wrap things up, Max Crosby, 3 sacks.
The 5 quarterback hits.
Nate Hobbs, Denzel Perriman, Corey Littleton, all 11 tackles each. Great defensive effort.
Perriman all leads the NFL in tackles.
And that's the type of that's the type of defense that we want, right? That's like really no like giant stars. Crosby is, but it's generally a team effort type defense. It was shown today. Kenyon Drake, 2 touchdowns out of nowhere. One reception, or one of those touchdowns, a reception, one of those a rush. Josh Jacobs back, 16 carries, 53 yards. Got the yards we needed when we needed it. Nothing too fancy. Derek Carr, the type of game we wanted. 18 of 27, 341 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Really big deal. We forced Teddy Bridgewater to throw the ball 49 times. He had 334 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he also had 3 interceptions. If we're forcing the Broncos to put the game on Bridgewater's back, we're going to beat them when they come to Las Vegas later in the season.
Dude, like his average is only 6.8 yards.
They should be running all over us. But if we're forcing Bridgewater to win the game for the Broncos, that's a win for the Raiders. Special teams was great. Daniel Carlson with some clutches. A.J. Cole with some giant punts. Rich Bisaccia, 1-0 as a head coach in the National Football League. And for him only, I will say, knock on wood, if you're with me.